So the question was asked, what was God's original intent in creating Eve? We learned this medrash where God seems to say, shucks, I meant for her to be less talkative, less extravagant, like less curious. And here she is, always going out and talking and curious. So when we read these midrashim, we have to understand what's the Medrash trying to tell us. When the Medrash says, God says, I thought the Creator from the leg, but then she'd be going out all the time, so I didn't. I thought the Creator from the mouth, but then she'd be talking all the time, so I didn't. I thought the Creator from the eye, but then she'd be curious all the time, so I didn't. I created her from a nice, modest place, the rib, and look at her, she's still talkative and going out and curious. So what's the Medrash telling us? So I think the Medrash is telling us two things. Number one, there's some kind of commiseration. You see that God expresses it as, I thought I would. As though God is saying, I also see and agree that there would be an advantage if she were more this way. Meaning it's true that it's not ideal that she's so talkative. On the other hand, the Medrash is telling you, but that's the way she is. Don't try to change your wife. You get on the phone and she says, who are you talking to? And you get all upset. Wait a second, I'm talking to him. You want me to be talking to you? And then you start talking in the conversation. She says, what did he say? And you look at her and say, you want to have the conversation? You'll know exactly what he said. Wait a second. Why are you losing your patience with her? The Medrash came and told you. God, so to speak, says, I agree with you. It would be nice the other way, but it's not. This is the way it is. She's curious, she's talkative. You come home and your wife, after 2 hours, says, you didn't tell me how your day was. And you say, I didn't want to interrupt. You see, God says, yes, you're right, she is more talkative. And there's some kind of message in that. God says, I so to speak, meaning the Medrash is acknowledging that God says, she is talkative. She does like going out. She is curious to a degree where God expresses it as, I would have liked it differently, so to speak. If God wanted it differently, he could have made her nature differently. So obviously it's not that he's saying, you know, I wanted her this way, but she's that way. That's not what the Medrash is saying. What the Medrash is saying is there's an element of commiseration. I'm telling you, yeah. It's not like a woman can take pride, like I once heard two women talking. So one woman says to the other, why are we having such a short conversation? So the other one says, you're right, I really better use up my 9 kavim today. The Talmud says God sent 10 kavim, 10 measurements of speech to the world. One was given to men and 9 were given to women. Meaning they talk at a ratio of 9 to 1 with regards to men. So that's what this woman was saying to the other one. I haven't yet used my ration of 9 today. Let's go talk in another hour. Meaning they agreed to have idless chatter for another hour. That was the agreement. So the Medrash is giving us an insight. God saying, yes, it's in their nature. No, it's not an ideal, but it's just the way it is. Meaning it's not, a woman shouldn't say, this is how God created me, so I'm going to just go all out and not constrain myself. No, a woman also has to recognize, we respect that it's within her nature, but it is also her responsibility to keep it under a certain constraint. You're going to educate your daughter when she gets married. So what are you going to tell her? You're going to tell her, look, it's within your nature to talk more. You have to realize that the more self-control you're going to have, the less you're going to get on his nerves. Part of married life is that you're going to want to talk more and he's going to want to talk less. And you have to learn to have that self-control. And as you learn that will help your shalom bias. Yes, you can be yourself. Yes, you can talk. And yes, he has to learn to have patience for it. But you can also learn to control yourself. And the Medrash, to a degree, is giving both messages. Where Hashem is saying to the women, Hashem is saying to the men, have patience. This is the way a woman is. And he's saying to the women, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal to live up to. It's part of your nature. But it's not something to go and say, this is the way I am, like that woman said to the other one, I have my 9 kavim, I have my ration to fill today, let's go talking for another hour. No. Hashem expresses it as, I would have. You understand? That's the Medrash code for it. And I heard a beautiful Rav Herschel Schechter in Ashir, he said, in the name of Rav Yisrael Salant, a beautiful way of explaining Midrashic terminology. He was visiting France, because there were a lot of students who were going to university there, and he wanted to set up an educational system for them to learn Torah while they were in university. So when he came to France, the French king had to sign on a war. There was a war they were going to have, and in order for the soldiers to actually go to war, he had to put his signature on the call to go to war. So he agreed to put his signature when he was visiting France, and the headlines on the newspaper said, with one drop of ink, because he dipped his pen into the inkwell and signed his name. So the headline said, with one drop of ink, the king drowned 10,000 of our young men. Because the headline was saying, we're going to lose, even if we win this war, it'll be costly, we're going to lose 10,000 young men, and the king approved it with one swift act of the pen. So the way the headline worded it was, with one drop of ink, our king drowned 10,000 men. So Rav Yisrael Salant said, imagine if 150 years down the road, you'll only see that headline. You won't see the article. What will you see? With one drop of ink, our king killed 10,000 young men. Our king drowned 10,000 young men. You stand there and you look at it and you wonder, what's going on here, right? Because you don't have the context. You don't have the picture. Yet everyone in France, anyone who read the article, understood what the idea was. The same thing happens with our Midrashim. The rabbis were talking in a context. They were talking in a language that everyone understood in their day. We come back and we try to understand what were they trying to say in that Midrash. So that's where, as we learn, and we learn the Meiri, and we learn the Rambam, and we learn the different commentaries, we learn how to decipher what they were saying when they worded it that way. So it's not that God's saying, oh shucks, I wish the woman would have been different. I meant for her to be different, but she's this way. The Midrash words it in a certain way to convey certain ideas. Clear?
That part is clear, but in terms of